Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting to the world.
Hello.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
Hey, yes.
The news you want.
Is the perception still that a black man with a gun is a criminal?
With the topics you need.
Marching might have been good for back in the day, but what kind of effectiveness is marching have on society today?
The Ron Kelly.
Black males 18 to 24 years old have the highest homicide offending rate.
4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 1 p.m. Pacific. It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted. Get it twisted.
On blogtalkradio.com. The Ron Kelly Show. On blogtalkradio.com. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
Oh no! I'm in charge of our 10-year class reunion and don't know where to begin.
Don't let this happen to you. For your next event, wedding, anniversary, class reunion, or just need to promote your business, Burkett Promotions has you covered.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Over 200 custom-made products USA made, along with personalized imprints and logos.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Burkett Promotions does it all. Big or small, we can fit your budget.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Need your event to stand out with that personalized touch? Pens, pencils, t-shirts? Go to BurkettPromotions.com.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Mention the Ron Kelly Show and receive an additional 10% off an already great prize.
Thanks to Burkett Promotions, my event was a success.
BurkettPromotions.com. B-I-R-K-E-T-T Promotions.com.
BurkettPromotions.com.
A business you can trust. A member of the Better Business Bureau, New Jersey. A-plus rating.
Some statistics are surprising. Some are unbelievable. And some are simply unacceptable. Right now, nearly 30% of U.S. students aren't finishing high school. Nearly 30%, and that's the average. In many places, it's even higher than that. And fixing it is a responsibility that we all share. This is President Obama, and I urge everyone, not just parents, but friends and neighbors and family members, to take responsibility for encouraging the high school students in your communities, to support them, challenge them, push them a little, and do whatever it takes to help them make it through. Because this is one statistic we simply can't afford to ignore.
You can do your part by going to boostup.org and sending an email, a text message, or even a wake-up call to a student at risk of dropping out. Go to boostup.org and provide the boost that's needed to make it to graduation. A message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Now, back with more,
are
more,
you ready?
More of the fastest growing internet radio show on the World Wide Web.
And it's on, it's go time.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
Yes, indeed. Yes, it is. Good afternoon. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Ron Kelly Show for Friday. It's May 16th, 2014. Everyone, thank you so much for joining me this afternoon. It's the Ron Kelly Show, happening here every Friday afternoon. You know, the Ron Kelly Show, it's the headquarters of common sense. It's the world headquarters of common sense. Because that's all, you know, that's the one resource that many of us just don't use. It's the common sense. We sit down and we pontificate and we think, we ponder, we try to figure things out, when really all it actually really takes is just a little bit of common sense. So this here, Ron Kelly Show, is the world headquarters, or the radio headquarters of the advocate. We advocate just plain old common sense here on Ron Kelly Show. Thank you so much for joining me, ladies and gentlemen. Later on in the program, we'll be talking about I don't do too much local radio. It's not my thing. I prefer to do the national news and, in my news talk program. But I'm going to do a little local thing today about a town I used to live in. It's called Paterson, New Jersey. And I think, there was an election there Tuesday night. And the story that was bigger than the election itself was the fact that the mayor-elect home was invaded by some thieves while he was downtown. at City Hall getting the vote count. Some thugs broke into his home and took a few items from his house. I guess they knew he wouldn't be home, and they went and they took some stuff from him. So that, I think that was an even bigger story than the fact of the matter that he won the election, Joey Torres, over the incumbent Mayor Jeffrey Jones, who beat Torres 4 years ago in 2010 with 8,000 votes. This year, the Mayor Jones got a paltry, pitiful 1,700 votes. That's one hell of a drop from 8,000 to 1,700. And I'll tell you a little bit later on about why that happened. And the story behind the story of mayoral hopeful Andre Saeg, who had everything but a personality. We'll talk about that a little bit later on in the program. But thank you so much, everybody, for joining me this afternoon, Ron Kelly show. And, you know, I can't say enough about the Republicans. And the mindset, or the lack of a mindset, the lack of a mind, I think, with the Republicans is just incredible. And just when you thought you've heard everything, just when you thought you've seen everything from the kook fringe Tea Party Republicans, here we go. Well, actually, this wasn't a Tea Party, but they were all kook fringe right wing, I should say wrong wing, because everything they try to do is turns out to be wrong, Republicans. And so here we go, the attack on Hillary Clinton, because the thinking, or the lack of thinking, now this isn't the worst idea the Republicans have had. This isn't the worst idea. You know who your enemy is, and you seek and destroy as early as possible. Now, here we are in 2014. The election isn't until 2016, but the person they fear the most is Hillary Rodham Clinton, former First Lady, former Secretary of State. Secretary of State. The person they fear the most, because the conventional wisdom says that the consensus choice to run on the Democratic side in 2016 for the 2016 election is, of course, it's Hillary Clinton. She's the strongest candidate. She has the best pedigree. And if it wasn't for Barack Obama in 2008, she would have won that election had it not been for President Obama. So, and the Republicans know this. So, first of all, they come out with the Benghazi. There's a, you know, we know what happened with Benghazi. Benghazi, in Libya, there was not a consulate, but we had an outpost in Libya that was destroyed by who knows. And Republicans are saying that, now this happened a couple of years ago. Now, Republicans are saying that somehow or another the Obama administration used some, did the three-card Monte on the American public and didn't tell the truth and didn't tell why this whole thing happened in the first place. And everybody knows, people who follow these things know that Hillary Clinton was the Secretary of State at that time of the United States of America when this happened. Now, so Republicans are claiming that there was a cover-up and that the United States government, the President, the Secretary of State, so on and so forth, the National Security Advisor, all knew that. Well, they claimed that the ambassador to Libya asked for better security, and the United States government moved too slow, and the result was the destruction of the embassy and the murder of four Americans, including the ambassador to Libya. So they pulled that out of the cobwebs. They're trying to use that against her, and now there's passing around this rumor that Hillary Clinton has some kind of brain ailment. So it just doesn't end with these people. It just doesn't end. They are so hell-bent on getting back into the White House that it just doesn't end with these people. We'll talk about that at another time. Today's Janet Jackson's birthday. Janet Jackson is 48. You remember Janet Jackson from Good Times back in the 70s? Penny was her name on Good Times. Janet Jackson is now 48 years old, married to a billionaire now. She went all the way to the top, billionaire, someone of the Muslim faith. So Janet Jackson has to wear the kimar, hijab, when she's in this man's country. Happy birthday, Janet Jackson. And yeah, so the Republicans are—they just won't quit. They just won't quit. Shouts out to the 5,000, more than 5,000 folks who have who are following the Ron Kelly Show on Facebook. We really, really appreciate that. I can't say enough about you guys. You're the ones that keep me going. It's not so much the listeners and I appreciate the listeners as well, but those people who take the time out to like the page. Ron Kelly Show page on Facebook. 5,085 so far. And this page hasn't been up long. So I want to thank you all for your indulgence here on the Ron Kelly Show. I really appreciate it. I really, really, really do. Let's get to some other things that are happening. I have my pile of stuff here that I have to go through. And let's go through some other things that are happening in the news. And what is this? Why? I don't understand why there's such a hoopla, hubbub about Jay-Z having a fight with his sister-in-law. Families fight all the time. But because this family is wealthy and famous, well, at least Jay-Z and Beyonce are. I don't know about Solange. This has been like, this took over the plane news. Because we for the last month or so, up until maybe a week or so ago, everyone was talking about this Malaysia Airlines Flight 370 with the 200 and couple people on board. They disappeared. So this was the news du jour. Everybody was doing specials and all kinds of stuff about it. And all of a sudden, the plane, I guess people just gave up on the plane ever being found, and no one is talking about it now. So Jay-Z allegedly has a fight in the elevator with his sister-in-law. Beyonce is there as well. And it's the biggest news on the planet right now. Big, big, humongous news. Oh, by the way, the person who sold the footage to TMZ got a record. But he received $250,000. He was fired from the job, of course. But he's walking away with one heck of a golden parachute because TMZ paid this man $250,000 for the tape, which only lasts about a minute. Elevated tape. So, yeah, and it's the biggest news imaginable. Now, we tend to forget, and I've never been one of those paparazzi people. I do report the news and what have you, but I never really talk about celebrities unless it's something relevant to what I need to talk about. But and you see it on Facebook too. Everybody wants to be taken. Everybody wants to be either be somebody or be seen with somebody. And I don't know if it's just a universal, lack of self-esteem or what, but everybody wants to be either seen with somebody or to be somebody. And you see people with pictures all on Facebook and what have you, social media, they took a picture with Erica Campbell from Mary Mary, or or some other individual who was quote unquote famous. And they're all cheesing. They're like, look at me. I took a picture with, you know, so and so. So what? And I'm no hater. I'm no hater. But, you know, it's all about, again, being seen with somebody. That's what it's all about. You know, everybody wants to be somebody. And everybody can't be somebody. Because if everybody was somebody, then nobody would be nobody. And you can't have a bunch of somebodies and no nobodies. So, and I don't get the clamor that, you know, if a rich person or somebody famous gets drunk and a nobody gets drunk, why do we put these people on pedestals like they're not human? They are human. They put one leg on at a time. The men, the women, they have to sit on the toilet just like any other woman does. You know, they're not gods, but we treat them like gods. Is that because we don't think that much of ourselves? You know, and all of this celebrity nonsense is baffles my mind. Now, they had an argument. I mean, families argue every day. They had an argument in an elevator. Now, how many families fight all the time? But the big clamor about all of this is because it's Jay-Z, Beyonce, two of the biggest entertainers in the world right now, and Beyonce's sister. So it's a big deal because of that. And, you know, I'll never, for the life of me, I'll never understand why we made such a big deal about a celebrity getting caught drunk driving or a celebrity getting caught cheating. But we make such a biggest deal about this stuff because the person is a celebrity. So why do we hold these people up as gods, like they never do anything wrong? Like they can't do what we do. It's such a big deal because they do what we do. They're no different than any of us. I mean, as far maybe they black people are a lot more talented than we are, some of us. You know, they've got more money, but they're still human beings. One day they're going to die. Like you. You know, they bleed just like you. They have to, you know, go to the bathroom just like you. So, again, I don't hate anybody. I mean, God, you know, hey, you made it. Good for you. But all of this clamor about celebrity, I just never really could wrap my brain, which is a lot of brain here, wrap my brain around it. We'll take a break, come back, and we'll talk about what else is going on in the world in just a minute or two. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on BlogTalkRadio.com.
The Ron Kelly Show on BlogTalkRadio.com and on the web, TheRonKellyShow.com.
Think of the shortbread, but you're not far. How many cheeks?
Dad, you're supposed to jump over the rope.
One more time.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
If you're looking for the best all-you-can-eat buffet in town for only $1.99, come to Big Ed's Chow House. If you're looking for juicy burgers, come to Big Ed's Chow House. If you're looking for tender brisket and succulent ribs, come to Big Ed's Chow House. But if you're looking for Big Ed, don't come to Big Ed's Chow House. Big Ed passed away last week at the age of 47, leaving his wife and three children, struck down in his prime by the same disease that got his father. So he won't be around to take care of his family. And the sad part is it all could have been detected early with a simple test. But Big Ed didn't get it.
Have you gotten the medical tests you need? For a list of tests every man should have, go to AHRQ.gov. Once again, that's ahrq.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Now, back with more, of the fastest growing internet radio show on the World Wide Web.
And it's on, it's go time.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
Yes, indeed. Thank you so much. It's the Ron Kelly Show. It's Friday, May 16, 2014. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining me this afternoon. It's yours truly, the bad boy. I guess you can call me bad boy on this show. But on Wednesday nights at 8 p.m., it's the Princess and the Bad Boy Talk radio program featuring Dr. Susana Flores. It's the Princess and the Bad Boy radio show redefining love and relationships. Imagine that, me talking about love and relationships. Well, you need to, if you really want to know what I'm talking about, you need to find out. So you can check the show out. It's Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. It's blogtalkradio.com/ The Princess and the Bad Boy. And you can check us out Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. Right now, it's the Serious News Talk personality. Yo, it's Julie Ron Kelly. It's the Ron Kelly Show. Double duty during the week because I love this radio game so much. Well, I hate it sometimes. But, for the most part, it's the labor of love. And I love talking to you, my audience out there all across the country. Thank you so much, everybody. The 5,000 or so followers on Facebook, appreciate it. And you start out with one. Everything starts with one. You went from one to almost 5,100 in a short period of time. So I must be saying something somebody wants to hear. So we appreciate that. And, you need to call in, right? Hold on. I think we have a caller here. Ron Kelly Show, good afternoon. Hello? Ron Kelly Show, hello? Okay. Yeah, we had a call. I don't know what happened. Anyway, 760 area code. Well, try to call us back, if you will. It's 347-426-3214. It's funny how that happens, because every time I think about, I do think about leaving the radio business, because it's a very tough business. You got to have really thick skin to do this radio thing. You really have to, because it's based on whether somebody likes you or not. That's what it's all about. How many people like you? The radio executives and the people who own the stations want instant ratings. So they hire comedians, and it doesn't always work out so well. They hire comedians and artists and authors and movie stars to do radio shows because they want instant results. See, nobody wants to take a chance to take that diamond in the rough and take him out of that rough and put him on a national stage and give him a chance. The only way that happens is with American Idol or some other show. And they got shows for everything now. Cooks, hookers, models. They got shows for everything. The best of this, the best of that. But nothing for radio. Now, I guess because you can't be actually seen on radio. But yeah, it's a very tough business. Every time I think about leaving the radio business, something else happens. I think we have a caller. Hello, Ron Kelly Show.
Hello?
Yes, hello. Ron Kelly Show, how are you?
This is Paco Corona calling from Escondido, California, where the fires are taking place.
Oh, Paco, I heard about that. One lady was complaining that her house, the lady was complaining that the fire department actually left while her house was burning down. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, I'm in the town where all these fires are taking place.
That's Escondido, you said?
Escondido, California. It's all these towns where all these fires are taking place is in the San Diego County is divided into two counties. You have the South County and the North County. Well, I belong to the North County where all these fires are taking place. And we have North County, there's towns divided up all up and down from San Diego all up from the coast about 30, 40 miles inland, and it goes all the way up north to Camp Pendleton. And all these towns are there's about 8, 9 towns that are on fire, and I'm on one of them.
Now, how big? Give us an idea, Paco. How big, in terms of acreage, like all these fires right now? I mean, what kind of? Are they very, very big?
One of them yesterday, they reported around this time yesterday there was about 6,000 acres, just one. But it had doubled by the evening. And the thing is that these fires have basically the first one that they reported it started in Camp Pendleton at the Navy Training Center. They said that that's where the Camp Pendleton started from. Now, that was on, I believe, on Wednesday morning with all these fires really just went out of control. And then it just spread around from one town to another. And I'm talking about they spread from anywhere from 15 to 20 miles, these embers which is flying around. And every area that had a high point, I live in the coastal line where there's a lot of hills and valleys. Well, a lot of the high places on these hills and valleys are all these places where that's where the embers landed, and that's where a lot of these affluent neighborhoods are at, and a lot of them are burning. As a matter of fact, there's a town near me right now. I was watching the news, and it's about, I don't know, I could get there in about 10, it's about 10 minutes, 10, about 10 miles from me, and one of the fires had started to lose control. So there's still... Okay. It's still pretty much spread all over the place, and the air quality is real bad. Home Depot and other places are providing people with free water, gas masks. There's been declared a state of emergency last night. They have all the law enforcement agencies collaborating with everybody involved right now, because yesterday there was also some people... I don't know, there's gentlemen that were also going around here in Escondido in our town starting out fires. There was a church that was started on fire in a few other places, and there was two individuals that were already arrested, and they reported that there was also other people starting some of these fires. So there's a lot of looting, there's a lot of things going on, and it's not really reported.
Really?
I've been keeping in touch with my scanner and other forms of, communication, because... people in Los Angeles, I have a lot of family in Los Angeles that are contacting me, because the news is just basically give them whatever they want to give them, but they don't really know what's going on.
Wow, so there's looting going on. And you don't imagine, I know, I'm talking to gentleman Paco from Escondido, California, everybody. He's very close to where the wildfires are taking place
in California. Yeah, they're 4 miles away from my house.
Right, and now, so, and people, you hear about that in riots and other types of civil disobedience, but you don't hear about that too often in with that kind of disaster, like a fire, where people are actually going out and looting. That's unusual. So, let me ask you something: is your house near the fire, or is your where you live, is it safe right now?
I live towards the foot of the mountains that are kind of like make a shoe around my home, and on top of these hills is a lake called Dixon Lake. So all the fires from my house are towards the west, and the I-15, which comes from San Diego all the way up to Northern California, then it goes out to Las Vegas. That I-15 is. I live west of that I-15. East of the I-15. Anything west of that I-15 in my town has been evacuated. So that I-15 is what saved me and the community where I live in, because that's what a lot of the fire department were really pushing to, so that the fire did not come into town. Because actually, where the fire took place in that area in Escondido, had a brand new hospital had just gone up, and I don't know the condition of that hospital, because they haven't mentioned, but we did receive on Wednesday night that it was, if it wasn't on fire, it caught on fire, or they might have saved it. But, it's pretty bad.
Let me ask you now, because in the midst of all of that, I don't mean to make light of it, but in the midst of all of that, you called the show. Now, were you listening, or did somebody tell you, or were you on?
No.
I mean, how did you...
I've been calling other shows and I since Wednesday.
Right.
And you're the second one that I've been able to at least report. And the one yesterday, they told me that they weren't taking calls, and they said that if I will call back in an hour when they were. And then I stayed on listening, and the gentleman, the host, asked for me to call back, and then I just gave a brief report, and that was it. But today I've been trying to get another shows throughout, you know, and Blog Talk to report to the, you know, to people here in the States, you know, about what's going on, because I've been keeping it, you know, in touch about how our, you know, I just say it, our media's been it's nothing but a bunch of sellouts. So the only way we could, you know, pass around the true news what's going on is by first-hand information, and that's why I got out right now, and I seen one of your, I happened to just tap into yours, and feel that if I could get on and just report, I, you know, that maybe what's going on.
No, we appreciate that, because that's important. Everybody, Paco is calling from Escondido, California, where the Wi-Fi is going on. 125,000 people have left their homes so far in the San Diego. This is the San Diego area. Right now the fire is threatening San Marcos and Escondido as well, right? San Marcos?
Yeah. San Marcos is, about 6-7 miles from my house. And Escondido is about another, these fires are about 4 miles from my house. But like I said, I haven't been told to evacuate. And I'm also part of a church ministry that goes out into the community to talk to the homeless and other people that are in need. So I'm supposed to go into these cities to go and talk to some of these people that are homeless, because there's a lot of homeless in the community. So I feel that there's a good opportunity to go and reach them and talk to them and let them know that there is God, you know, other than our government trying to solve their problems.
Yeah, well, definitely. We hope that, you know, the thing about these wildfires is that, you know, in a lot of many cases they have to burn themselves out because they're very difficult to put out, and then they have to start backfires. You know, sometimes they set backfires that will stop the fire from progressing when they set the backfires. With stuff that's going to burn anyway. So now they're saying, Paco, that they suspected maybe somebody started these fires.
That's what they're reporting.
Yeah, this is what the sheriff.
That's what they're reporting, but they also reported that they arrest a couple of gentlemen here, an adult male and a teenager male, yesterday, because they were going around here in town. As a matter of fact, two of those fires were. They started with just half a mile from my house, and these buildings burned down. So, there's been reports of people going around also starting additional fires, like buildings and things like that. So it's they were reporting last night that people should stay home and stay away from these areas, because law enforcement is all over the place. The city attorney of San Diego already stated that anybody that's caught doing any wrong, they're going to be persecuted under federal law.
Well, you know, people whose businesses are in trouble, this would be a golden opportunity for them, for people whose businesses may be in trouble, and they may be looking to torch their business to collect the fire insurance. So this would be a golden opportunity for, not that I'm trying to give anybody a reason, but this would be a golden opportunity for them. So maybe some of these other fires that are being set may be being set by the owners of the property, hoping to catch on the fire insurance. So yes, but they did say they arrested two teens. They call them teens, 119 and 117. They were trying to set fires, and they matched the description of witnesses of two people trying to set fires in South Escondido. So
that's just like a mile and a half away from my house.
Okay.
And the thing is like I'm telling you, it's just, and the weather on Wednesday, let me tell you what the weather was like. On the coast, I talk about smack on the coast, it was 98 degrees. Where I live in Escondido, it felt like 120. And the humidity was at 1%. And the wind was blowing around anywhere from like 15 to 20 miles up to 35, 40 miles per hour. I mean, there was neighbors here where I live at, in, their fences were blown down. I've never seen this happen with this type of wind.
Yeah, that sounds like perfect conditions for a fire, because you have high heat, no humidity.
Yes.
You have dry brush, that's being dried out by the hot sun, and then you have a wind that's feeding the fire. So those are like the most excellent conditions for something like that, Paco. But we here at the Ron Kelly Show, we wish you well, my brother.
Well, thank you very much.
We wish you well, and thank you for the opportunity to speak to you. Yeah, and I thank you. Yeah, thank you for calling us, giving us a live update about these wildfires that are going on in San Diego. And hopefully, the good Lord will open those skies up and put a little rain down, and which it's doing right. We're going to get four. I'm on the East Coast, and we're going to get 4 inches of rain. So hopefully, you guys will get some of that too out there, Paco. And God bless you.
I hope so.
Yeah, God bless you, brother, and I wish the best for you and your family and all the people who are going through it out there in Escondido. Thank you for calling, my brother. Appreciate you.
Thank you, sir, and God bless you, too, and I wish everybody out there in the East Coast well, and have a great day and a weekend.
Yeah, don't forget to call me back next week and let me know, what the aftermath was of that. I'll be looking forward to your call.
Okay. I sure will, my brother.
All right.
Okay,
thank you, Paco. Take care.
Okay. You too.
Thank you. All right, everybody. That was Paco from. He's out there that's weird. He's out there in California, where the wildfires are. It's going on. 125,000 people have been evacuated. Flames everywhere, and there's a woman complaining. I didn't get her name. The woman complaining that her house was beginning to burn down, and the fire department just left, and her house burned down. How awful was that when she says that, or maybe they didn't see, who knows what the exact story was. She's saying that part of her house was on fire and firemen left and her house subsequently burnt down. So how hopeless must a person feel to see their home being engulfed by flames? But even this is the chance, this is the risk you take anywhere in America when you choose a certain place to live. If you live in a flood area, there's a chance it's going to flood. And when you live in the woods, with trees nearby and stuff like that, I'm sure it's beautiful when there's nothing going on, but I'm sure it's beautiful when it's beautiful when there's nothing going on, but when something happens, like a wildfire, your house is going to burn down, especially if there's trees nearby. So God speed to Paco and the rest of the people out there in California who are already with 98-degree temperatures, like the gentleman said, and then on top of that you got flames that are engulfing the neighborhoods and the forests out there in San Diego County, South Escondido. And Escondido and San Marcos. All right, everybody, we'll take a break. We'll come right back. We'll talk about this Patterson election and exactly what happened. We're not going to pull no punches here. I got nothing to lose now. The mayor lost. So I can say what I want. Anyway, we'll take a break. We'll come right back with more. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on talkradio.com.
There was a need in talk radio. And one man will fill that need.
What kind of effectiveness is marching out of society today?
And you too can be a witness. The Ron Kelly Show on blogtalkradio.com.
Hi, I'm Lisa Edelstein. Every day on set, I help my fictional doctors save the lives of imaginary patients in the TV series House. Every day in his village in Ethiopia, Barasa Ware helps save the lives of real children as a local health worker. Like many children in the developing world, the ones in Barasa's village are threatened by common illnesses that kill millions worldwide. But unlike villages without a local health worker, the children of Barasa's village get the care they need to survive. Imagine how many more children could be saved with your help. When you help local health workers like Barraza, you help children survive all over the world. See where the good goes at goodgoes.org and find out all the ways you can help the good go further. Brought to you by Save the Children and the Ad Council.
Now, back with more of the fastest growing internet radio show on the World Wide Web.
And it's on. It's go time.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
Yes, indeed, it's the Ron Kelly Show, everybody. Thank you so much for joining me this afternoon. Thank you, Paco, for calling the Ron Kelly Show from California, right in the middle of the wildfires that's going on over there right now. You know, God be with the people who are there who've lost their homes and suffered from this tragedy of it may not be a natural disaster. The police and the authorities are claiming that somebody may have started those fires. All right, let's get to the Patterson election. Jeffrey Jones, who was the mayor for 4 years in Patterson and really didn't do much while he was mayor, was defeated by Jose Joey Torres. Now, Jose Joey Torres is the person that Jeffrey Jones defeated 4 years ago by a sizable, well, not by a sizable margin, but by enough. And Jeffrey Jones was swept in office with 8,000 or so votes, and he was swept out of office with 1,700, which is like a 65% drop from what he came into office with. But that's not the story. We have a candidate, Andre Saig. We say Saig. He says tomato, tomato. Anyway, Andre Saig is the city council president and the councilman in the second ward of the great city of Patterson, New Jersey. And Andre Saig was the appointed one or the anointed one, or so it seemed. And Andre was the darling of the Democratic Party. Now, Patterson, New Jersey is a nonpartisan town. And, you know, it's funny. Most, knowing what I know about politics, most depressed areas are not party affiliated. Most depressed areas are not party affiliated. Most, nearly all. So when you go into places like Newark, New Jersey, Patterson, you know, some of the other areas, some of the other depressed cities, Detroit, Cleveland, you know, these places like that, Gary, Indiana, there is no party affiliation, especially amongst the minorities. See, the party affiliation either comes when you run with the party, because when you run with the party, you're stuck with that party. So if you run on a Democratic slate, now you have to be a Democrat. And I know some Democrats who have run on a Democratic slate, may not even want to, you know, once you sell your soul to the devil when you run with a party, be it the Democratic Party or the Republican Party. You sell your soul because you have to toe the party line when something happens. So I think there may have been some politicians, some party politicians who may not even wanted to get behind Mr. Saig. But they did it. And y'all know who I'm talking about. I don't want to mention their names. But they did it reluctantly because they had to toe the party line. Because if you don't toe the party line, guess what? You're out. So the next time you try to run, you run without the party money, you run without the party backing, you run without the party power, you're out. So when you run with the party, you know, it's like running with the bulls. If you don't run fast enough, you'll get stuck. You'll get stabbed by one of those horns in your back if you don't stick to that party. So anyway, the Andre Saig was the darling of the Democratic Party in Passaic County, which the city of Patterson is located in. And everyone, the party powerful, you know, state Democratic and county Democratic chairman, Mr. John Curry, Congressman Bill Bascrell Jr., and assorted assembly people, county council, et cetera, all came out. All Democrats, all came out and supported, publicly supported, on the steps of City Hall, supported Mr. Sayegh for mayor of the great city of Patterson, New Jersey. Came out and supported him. But the problem is, or was that in depressed areas, especially amongst minorities, you're not going to find a whole lot of party affiliation. The only way, again, the only way you'll find that is if one of those minorities ran on a particular slate. So the mistake that the Democratic Party made in Passaic County was believing that their endorsements would carry any weight. Because the endorsements carried no weight. Now, these people are popular, you know, in their own right. Assorted assembly people who I won't name, others, county council, Congressman Pascrell, who I will name, county chairman Curry, et cetera. And these people, you know, are popular in their own right. Chairman Curry is a very popular guy in Passaic County. And, you know, Congressman Pascrell has been the congressman here for a long time, former mayor of the city of Patterson, former council person, I believe. Enormously popular individual. But when these people came together to endorse Sayegh, it was the biggest mistake that they could have made. And it's the biggest mistake that Andre Sayegh could have made. See, because the assertion was that Andre Sayegh was a puppet and that he was easily led by folks. And you see, when you don't fight back against accusations, you own them. And Mr. Sayegh, trying to be, you know, see no evil, speak no evil, hear no evil, attempting to be, to stay above the fray, in other words, be the, you know, the white knight, lack of a better term, he blew it. He blew it. Because he had the money, and he had the back. See, what he should have done, and I had been saying it the whole time he was running, from day one, what he should have done was established himself, established his own identity. And that's something that Mr. Sayegh did not do. He didn't establish himself. He didn't say, hey, listen, okay, yeah, these people are backing me, but they're not my boss. My boss are the citizens of the city of Patterson. My boss are you guys. You guys that vote me in, you're my boss. But he didn't do that. Sometimes you have to fight. You got to fight. And he didn't do that. He sat back, and he let people take shots at him. He didn't do anything. So you get in the ring, right? If you get in the ring and you don't swing but you block all the punches, you're going to lose by decision because you didn't swing back. Even if you didn't get knocked out, even if you didn't get hit, the other person took punches, and he gets points for that, even if he didn't hit you. And Mr. Sayegh sat back and did nothing. People talked about him, accepting money from different contractors and then voting on council business that had something to do with these people. He didn't fight back. So when somebody accuses you of something, you don't fight back. You own it. It's yours. Mr. Sayegh made a fatal mistake when he didn't fight back. See, because Patterson and towns like Patterson, Newark, you know, all across the country, Compton, you know, towns in Texas and all across America, Columbus, Ohio, all these places, St. Louis, you got to be a fighter. You have to be a fighter. You can't sit back and let people pummel you and you don't do anything about it. And this is what Mr. Sayegh did. That was why he lost. Because he didn't come out and say, hey, look, I didn't take no money from nobody. Or if I took money, if it had nothing to do, it didn't influence my decisions on the council. Okay, yeah, maybe I should have recused myself. But me taking money from somebody you know, it does not, you can't buy my vote on the council. He didn't say anything. He wanted to be the stay above the fray, Mr. Nice Guy. And didn't he know nice guys finish last? So that's why Mr. Sayegh lost, because he didn't establish his own identity. And I'm sure that somebody was writing those posts that he was posting on Facebook, because that was the weakest pablum that I've ever seen. Had no fire, no focus, no nothing. Sad. Weak. So Mr. Sayegh put himself in a position where he appeared to be a puppet. He rubber stamped what everybody was thinking about him. So when he did his puppet act, people were like, yeah, you know what? The county government is going to control him. And he lost by more than 1,000 votes. And the election was his. It was his. It was his to win. It was his to win. But see, you can't be presidential until after you become the president. And you can't be mayoral until after you become the mayor. And so this is why he lost. This is why he lost. And not too many people can disagree with me. See, one thing I know politics. And that's why he lost. Jeffrey Jones, the incumbent, lost because he didn't do anything. The 4 years he was there, he didn't do anything. And that's why he lost by such a sizable margin. Embarrassing, actually. You got 1,704 votes. The guy you beat 4 years ago had over 8,000 votes. An overwhelming mandate for Joey Torres. Overwhelming. So if Mr. Sayegh can hear this program, if you're going to run in 2018, he's a young guy, you know, he'll still be young then. I think he might be in his late 30s, early 40s, somewhere around there. Plenty of time. Establish an identity. Jeffrey Jones probably shouldn't have ran at all. Because he knew he was going to lose. I mean, he tried to say the right things, but he did nothing. The snowstorms and, you know, and then the thing with the... And Jeffrey Jones, another one who didn't respond. Didn't respond. That was the only reason why he lost, but he didn't respond. When they were bombarding him with the payroll stuff and the scandal, the overtime scandal, because if you're a public servant and you've been elected, you know you don't get no overtime. You don't get overtime. You're a public servant. You're elected. You have a salary. You're an elected official. There's no overtime. If you don't punch a clock, there's no overtime for you. I don't care who you are. If you work in management, you work directly for the person who owns that business. And then if you're in management, you don't get paid overtime, never. And when you work as the mayor or a public servant, an elected official, I should say, as elected official, you never get paid overtime. So why didn't Jeffrey Jones, why did he accept the check? Knowing that, you know, I mean, there's no gray area with that. Let me check the books. No, you shouldn't have did it. Jeffrey Jones made a lot of mistakes, and he thought he was bigger than the job. And he's a friend of mine. Known him for years. A great deal of respect for him. But, you know, call a spade, well, I don't want to use that term, spade a spade, that wouldn't be appropriate because he's an African American. But no, you blew it. The 4 years, you just kind of, you know, I know what's best. He rode around with an entourage of police officers that he didn't need. They could have been out solving crimes. If they're detectives, they could have been out solving crimes or stopping crime. So this is what happened, Joey Torres just sat back and just watched. See, Joey Torres has been planning this for 4 years, ever since he lost in 2010. He's been planning this comeback for 4 years. He's been working on this for 4 years. While some of the other candidates just started campaigning this year, Joey Torres, behind the scenes, has been building a comeback. How else could he come back and win so convincingly had he not already been building a base over the last 4 years while he was working way down in Jackson, New Jersey as a town, as a purchaser, town clerk or something like that, whatever he was. So Joey Torres was working on his return from the day he lost. He's been working on his return, raised $250,000. He's been working on this for 4 years. So I have tipped my hat to Joey Torres, and congratulations to Joey Torres for winning the election in Paterson, New Jersey, a town which many of you probably never heard of out there, my listeners who are nationwide across the country and around the world. So once again, I want to thank everybody for joining me today. We appreciate you. Thank you to the 5,000 or so Facebook followers of The Ron Kelly Show on Facebook. Thank you so much. Let's hit that Twitter, The Ron Kelly Show. Let's get Twitter going because the Twitter is far behind. So let's get going on Twitter. Twitter at The Ron Kelly Show. And we'll see you back here next week for another edition, another exciting edition of The Ron Kelly Show, I should say. So until then, I guess I ask you all to take care of yourselves and remember that it's nice to be important, but it's more important to be nice and that we may not have it all together. But you know what? Together, we can certainly have it all. Thank you so much, everybody. I'm gone.